chapter number 9, Acts chapter number 9. And you too can have the privilege of singing in the Lord's house, amen. All you have to do is see Brother John, and he'll just go over with you a few things about standards we have for being on the pulpit, the platform here at Charing Baptist Church, and we'd love for you to be able to sing. You say, well, I'm not as good as they were. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. You don't have to be as good as they were, amen. You could be better, or you could even be worse, amen. And the thing is simply this, is that we want you to sing from your heart, amen. But again, too, we want you to sing from your heart as unto the Lord, amen. So that means that you would practice, and you would practice, and do your very best for the Lord. And that's all the Lord asks, and that's all we ask as well. So thank you so very much. That's a number of different times he has stood up and sang, and I just appreciate that so very much. We're going to look at Acts chapter number 9, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll, for the sake of time, jump down to verses 10 through verse number 16. We'll continue in our series of God Can. And this morning we saw and heard of the message, Can God Really Save Me? And to that we have to answer, yes, He really can do that. And we preach that message on a Sunday morning, because typically there are more lost people there on Sunday morning than there are on Sunday evenings. So this evening, I want to really speak to the heart of the church. And I entitled this message, Can God Really Use My Life? Can God Really Use My Life? So every time I read this story we're going to read here, and I say story, but really the truth of God's Word, I'm amazed at the grace of God. I see the Lord take this man Saul and give him grace and transform him into the great apostle to the Gentiles. And every time I read this story and think about Paul, I realize this, there's hope for people just like you and I. Truth of the matter is, you and I aren't really different than the Apostle Paul was. Sure, we're not probably out murdering Christians. At least I hope you're not out murdering anybody, let alone Christians. But the truth of the matter is, if God could use the Saul to become the Apostle Paul, He can use you and I to be what He'd have for us to be. The truth is, Saul was a very unlikely candidate to be used of God. Think about it. He persecuted the local New Testament church. His whole desire was to go out and capture people and torture them and kill them. And guess what? He did it in the name of God up in heaven. And so when you think about that, we find that he was not on the top 10 list of those people who you and I would look at and say, well, there's a good candidate to serve the Lord. He definitely wasn't number one. He certainly wasn't on the top 10. As a matter of fact, if you were to ask the people around that day, do you think this man named Saul would be any person as a use of God? They would say, nope, there is no way whatsoever. And so we look at Saul, and he was a man who was feared and hated by the Christians. And Saul did everything that he could to destroy the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, get this, God reached down in His grace and took this man from where he was and changed him to change the world for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. God used him in such a great way that Paul's ministry is still reaping fruit today. And just the fact that I'm here preaching about his life and his testimony and the impact that he had on the world is testimony into the way in which God used him and is still using him today. Most of you, since the beginning of this year, we've been coming up with this, came up with the theme for this year of Be the Church in Faithfulness. And I think by now most of us really have made a ready commitment to be faithful to the Lord in the year 2022. And faithful to the Lord in 2022 as God has placed it upon your heart. Maybe it's more faithful in your reading, more faithful in your praying and your witnessing, more faithful in your studying of God's Word, whether it be for classes or for your own personal edification, whatever the case may be. But perhaps you're sitting here this evening and you feel that there is no way that the Lord can use you or use Charing Baptist Church like He used the Apostle Paul to reach the lost and dying of his day. I'm here to let you know that I suppose that all of us feel inferior. Oftentimes we feel unworthy to be used of the Lord in His work. But I'm here tonight to tell you simply this, that Jesus can and He will use you if you're willing to make yourself available to Him. Yeah. Having said that, then let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. Let's read the story of Saul, who later became Paul, in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And then we'll jump over to verse number 10 and read down through verse number 16. Notice what the Bible said in Acts 9, verses 1 through 6. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be there, it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now look down to verse number 10 through verse number 16. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire into the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how many evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts and our heads before you this evening, Father, we are so thankful that we have this passage in Acts chapter number 9 that speaks to our hearts about the conversion of that great apostle to the Gentiles. So, Father, I pray as we look at this thought, God, you would help us to understand this and answer this question deep inside our hearts. Can God really use my life? So, Father, I pray now that you would speak to the hearts of your church, those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps some are here and they have committed by faith, Father, and have committed faith to you, Father, this coming year of 2022, but yet they're wondering, just how can God use me? Can he use me in the same way that he used the Apostle Paul in the early New Testament church? So, Father, I pray we'll give them some answers today, that they'll commit themselves, Father, to serve you all the remainder days of their lives. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you once again honor and glory for what you're going to do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen, and you may be seated this morning. Notice, first of all, in verse number 1, as we think about this thought, can God really use my life? Notice, first of all, our past condition is no obstacle. Our past condition is no obstacle. If you think about it, first of all, we'll see that Paul was a murderer, and this was according to his own testimony. He was guilty of doing everything in his power to put Christians to death. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 4, Paul said this, And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Then he kind of continues on in Acts 26 and verse 10, and he says these things, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. So we find the Apostle Paul, he's saying that he was a murderer. He understood that. It was nobody's fault but his own. He had permission from the chief priests, but he gave his voice against them, according to Acts 26 and verse number 10. You might even say this, that Paul was a rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think a lot of different terms, but that's a good one. He rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ. He rebelled against what he's done for them on the cross of Calvary. He rejected and rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about Paul, and you know a little bit about Paul's background, religiously, he was a man that was to be envied. Remember, he sat under the feet of Gamaliel, and boy, he studied the law, and he rose up in the ranks of Pharisees. And so Paul really, religiously, religiously, you would look at him and the Jewish people would say, that's a man to be envied. But internally, guess what? Internally, the Apostle Paul, or here Saul, was wicked as any other man that has ever walked the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 7, in verse number 58, the Bible recounts how Paul gave his approval for the murder of Stephen. Understand this, make no bones about it. The Apostle Paul was a wicked man before his conversion, but the wickedness of man's heart is really no match for the saving grace of God himself. And when Paul received Jesus Christ into his heart, he's changed forever by the grace of God. Well, Paul was a murderer, but notice something else. Our past will not prevent us from being used by God. Your past and Paul's past and my past will not prevent us from being used by God. Regardless of what we have done before we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, it doesn't matter any longer. Remember, the Apostle Paul pretty much declared that he was a murderer and a persecutor of Christians. But yet God, by God's grace, saved him and greatly and mightily used him. Think about this. When God saves our soul, he washes our past away. It's just as if we have a brand new start at that precise moment. As a matter of fact, the Bible refers to this event as a new birth. In John 3 and verse number 7, Jesus said this, "Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." So our past is not going to prevent us from being used by God in any way, shape, or form. And there are three records of our past deeds, if you really think about it. First of all, there's a record that we carry in our mind, and that's our thoughts. And oftentimes, those thoughts are the ones that would hinder us from working for the Lord. Secondly, there's the record carried by all those who knew us before we were saved. We might call that our testimony. So you think about how you used to live and how you used to act. And maybe you already have been saved and born again. Maybe you backslid on God and did things that you're ashamed of and don't want anybody else to know about. And your friends and your family and your acquaintances and your co-workers what condition and what things you used to do. And so we find that the second record is our testimony. But yet I find there's a third record that's carried by Satan. And understand this, Satan will come and he'll remind you of your record all the time, and that's our trouble. So the three records are our thoughts, our testimony, and our trouble. And understand this, that the world, the flesh, and the devil will use our thoughts, he'll use your testimony, and Satan will use our trouble to do all that we can to make us think that we're undeserving to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, I want to remind you that even though that I may remember my past, even though my friends and family may know my past, and even though Satan surely knows and understands and sometimes reminds me of my past, there's a God in heaven that's forgotten my past, and there's no obstacle for him to use us for his glory for now and even in the future. I like Psalms 103 in verse number 12. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah 38, verse 17 says this, behold, for peace I have great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it out from the pit of corruption, for thou cast all my sins behind thy back. And of course, Isaiah 43 and verse number 25, God speaking through that great prophet Isaiah puts it this way. God speaking, I am he that blotteth out your transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Thank God for that. Listen, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and your own thoughts should not ever stop you from serving God. If you have been forgiven, they're gone as far as the east is from the west. They're behind, so to speak, metaphorically, the back of God. And God said, I will not remember those sins anymore. But here's our trouble. Our thoughts, again, get us into trouble when we think, well, how can I speak for God? Well, listen, if you just look at the Apostle Paul, how could he speak for God? I mean, he literally went from killing Christians and looking to killing Christians to a few days later preaching and teaching the gospel. And so, my friend, If God can do that for Paul, he can do it for you and I as well. Notice that all through the Bible, God uses people in spite of and even after their greatest failures. Think about Simon Peter. He preached his greatest message and had the greatest ministry. When did that occur? After he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Moses. We think about Moses as a grand guy, and he was a great servant of God. But understand this, Moses, like Paul, was a murderer, yet God used him for his honor and for his glory to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt and help them in their wandering for 40 years. Think about another man by the name of Samson who sinned against God. Yet the Bible said he slew more Philistines in the end of his life than he did during his entire life. Think about Abraham. Abraham on a number of occasions lied concerning his wife, but yet he was used of the Lord to be the father of many nations. I think about Jacob. Jacob was a conniver. He was a trickster. He was a deceiver. And yet the Lord transformed him in his life and used him greatly. And there are many others that we could just name in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But these are enough really to show us that the Lord can take those who have failed in their past life and use them for his glory and honor today, right here in 2022. Well, we see that our past condition is no obstacle for God. But then notice something else in verse number 2. Notice this, our present circumstances are no obstacle for God in verse number 2. And we notice this in the example of the Apostle Paul again. Paul was on his way to Damascus to find Christians, to arrest Christians, and ultimately to kill Christians. And he was filled with hatred and wanted nothing more than to completely destroy anyone or anything connected with the name of Jesus Christ. That was his sole mission. That was his sole desire, to try to stamp out Christianity as it was blooming in those early days. Yet in spite of all this, we find that the Lord was able to change this man and use him for the glory of the Lord. You know, this evening, we're no different than Saul was. We're no different than the Apostle Paul became. God could do the same thing in your life. He could do the same thing in my life. He can take us just the way that we are and use us for his honor and for his glory. Every one of us here this evening brings liability. We bring extra baggage with us that could hinder us in our service for the Lord. Some are here and they're uneducated. They only perhaps not even have a high school education. Others are more than that. Others have few resources. They don't have much money to bring to the table. Some are weak in their faith, and others are really, as the Bible said, are ignorant brethren. They're just filled with pride and consuming of themselves. But understand this evening that the Lord is able to take us exactly where we are, change us, what needs to be changed, and then use us greatly again that he might receive honor and glory. The Bible was filled with all kinds of these examples. Let's look at a couple of them. First one, I think of Moses, I already had mentioned. Moses, when he was 80 years old, when the Lord called him into the ministry. So you're sitting here this evening and you're pushing Social Security age. You said, there's no way God can use me. Listen, Moses was 80 before God called him to do a work. It doesn't matter if you're 8, 18, 38, 58, 78, or 108. Amen. God can use you. Amen. So we look at Moses. He was 80 when the Lord called him into the ministry. But guess what? He had other problems as well in his life. Number one, he wasn't a very good speaker. If you remember, when God called him, he complained to God about that. He said, well, can I use Aaron, my brother, to speak on my behalf? And Moses was filled with fear. He was fearful to go down to Egypt where he came from. Yet despite all of this extra baggage that Moses had in his life, guess what? God was able to use this man for his honor and for his glory and to be a great help to the nation of Israel during those wandering years in Exodus, leaving the nation of Egypt. I think of the Gadarene dynamic man. He was a man that was feared by everyone. I mean, think about it. A naked man running around downtown Hampton, screaming and yelling, spattering spit probably and speaking unintelligible words probably. This man was a demon-possessed man. He was feared by everyone. But understand this. The Lord was able to take this demon-possessed man who caused so much trouble, and he was able to use him as a witness to the glory of God himself. I'm here to tell you that it makes no difference of what your present condition are. God took that maniac of Gadara and took him and used him where he was, changed him for the honor and glory of the Lord. What I want you and I really to understand is that our present circumstances right here, right today, on this date in 2022, have not caught the Lord by surprise. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what kind of baggage that you're carrying around in your life. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you even know yourself. He knows where you are spiritually. He knows where you are emotionally. He knows where you are intellectually. And thank God, sometimes he knows where we are carnally, and sometimes takes us to the woodshed. He knows what's going on in our life, and he also knows what is not going on in our life. And in spite of all that extra baggage that we carry around, God can still use your life if you yield yourself to him. That's the key, the yielding of ourself to him. Well, we see that our past conditions are no obstacle to God. We see our present circumstances are no obstacles to God. And notice lastly in verses 11 through verse number 16, our personal characteristics are no obstacle to God. Our personal characteristics are no obstacle to God. You see, Paul was feared by the followers of the Lord. And most of the people thought Paul's salvation was just a trick to capture them and persecute them. As a matter of fact, when he went to Jerusalem to meet the apostles, Barnabas had to go with him to introduce him in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 27. And yet, guess what? God was able to overcome this obstacle and still use the apostle Paul or Saul in a great and mighty way. And I think if you were to really take a hard look at Paul's life, you'll see that he was a man with a lot of personal obstacles that seemingly would keep him from being used of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 10:10. The Bible says, for his letters, say they are weighty and powerful, speaking about the Apostle Paul. But notice what they said. But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and let's see what God's word has to say. The Bible says, and this is again Paul speaking about himself in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 2. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Doesn't sound like a man of God who's thundering out the truths of God's word, does it? Then in verse 4, he gets down to the crux of the matter and says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We find that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 6, for though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, he said, I have the understanding of God and God's plan and salvation. He said, my speech isn't what it ought to be, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you all things. He said, look, my body's not what it ought to be. My speech is rude and probably not the best speaker, but he had the knowledge of God and God used him. Galatians 4 and verse 13, it's written about Paul here. He says, you know, through the infirmity of the flesh, Paul speaking, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So he said, look, I've been weak and I've been sickly. I'm not the most buffed up kind of person. My preaching, my speech is not the best it ought to be. But he said simply this, that I was used of God. Paul had all kinds of personal obstacles to get over to be used of the Lord, but God was able to use him, get this, in spite of his physical body, in spite of perhaps his eyesight, in spite of his speech, God was still able to use him no matter what was wrong with him physically. Now listen, I don't know what excuse you have, but I do know this, that Paul had, if any man had some excuses, Paul had some, but he still said he wanted to serve the Lord. Notice secondly, if we get into the business of comparing ourselves with others, we're in for a rough ride. If we're in a business of comparing ourselves against other people, we're in for a rough ride. You know, there's always going to be somebody that witnesses more than you and better than you. There'll always be someone that can sing better than you can, brother and sister. There's always someone that can sing better. There's always someone that can sing worse. There's always someone that can preach better than I can. There's always someone that can teach and preach better than Pastor James. There's always somebody that can do it better than you. And there's always somebody that does it worse than you. And so we have to be careful about comparing ourselves with others. And if we do, we're in for a very rough ride. Here's the truth. All of us, myself included, have personal characteristics that maybe will make us feel like God can't use us. Maybe you're tall, maybe you're skinny, maybe you're short, maybe you're fat, I don't know. Maybe you have a squeaky voice, maybe you have a down voice like this, I don't know. But understand the truth of the matter is simply this, that probably every one of us could look at ourselves and find some kind of excuse that we could think would be a good excuse why God cannot use us. But God can take the things that we consider to be weaknesses in our life and use them anyway. You see, God delights, let me repeat that, God delights in taking the weak and the foolish things of this world and using them in some great and mighty way that he receives honor and glory from it. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27, we find these words, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Let's look one more time at some biblical proofs of this great truth that our personal characteristics are no obstacle for God. As we look through the Old and New Testament, I think there's several people, again, that were used of God in spite of their personal characteristics. Again, we already had made mention to Moses, but again, God took this old man who really probably had some kind of a speech impediment and used him as his mouthpiece for God himself. God used a beautiful young Jewish girl by the name of Esther to save his people from slaughter. God used a young unknown boy by the name of David to become the greatest king to ever sit on the throne of the nation of Israel. God used a poor beggar by the name of Lazarus to preach a daily sermon to a rich man that died and went to hell. God used 12 unknown men, many who were uneducated, some were social outcasts, all from various walks of life, to set the world on fire for God himself. Here's the truth. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where that you came from. It doesn't matter what problems you may or may not have. It doesn't matter what personality traits that exist in your life. It doesn't even matter what level of your education is or how well you receive or perceived by other people. God can and will use you if you will make yourself available to him and to his work. You know, we look at ourselves and we wonder how someone like us could be used to do anything for the cause of Jesus Christ. I can remember the night I surrendered myself. Really, I keep repeating because it's so true. I said, "God, I'm not anybody." I said this, "God, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody among all these somebodies here in this world." And as I looked down and compared myself to other mature Christians for 25 and 30 years, I said, "Who am I among these people?" And God said, "You're the man. You're the one I want. Make yourself available to me." And I did that. The truth of the matter is that God doesn't need us to be strong. God doesn't need us to be able to stand on our own two feet. As a matter of fact, he doesn't prefer to use people like that. He needs us to be weak and totally dependent upon him for our power and his working in our life. You see, The truth is that God isn't looking for spiritual powerhouses. Thank God that there are some spiritual powerhouses, but that's not who God is looking for. He's looking for people who have nothing more than a faith and a desire to cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the secret to all this lies in one word, and that is surrender. So the million-dollar question is simply this: are you totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Are you surrendered to His will for your life? So to answer this great question, can God use my life? We have to say this: yes, that He can. Let me close with a few spiritual questions for you. Number one, before God can use you, you must be saved. You must have trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Not just being good, not just being baptized, not a church member, but truly saved. Then number two, if you want to really be used by God, you have to be surrendered. So I ask you that great invitational hymn, is your all on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you holding anything back? Everything of yours must be His if you're going to be used like the people we read about and preached about this evening. Are you surrendered to Him, fully surrendered to Him? And then number three, are you available for Him to use? Sometimes I think this, that our life gets so cluttered with everything that's in this world, everything that's in our life, that there's nowhere for the Lord to get in to be able to use you. Understand this, I know what the Lord can do. I know He's all-powerful. I know He's ever-present everywhere. But sometimes that we so clutter our life that we block the Lord Jesus Christ out. Are you available for Him to use? And number four, are you willing to be used by the Lord? It's one thing to say, Lord, I'm available. But when it comes calling, are you truly willing to be used by Him? Here's the fact. God's not going to force you to serve Him. He may make you think you wish you had willingly surrendered to Him and serve Him, but He'll never force you to do anything because He's a God who gives us that free will choice. You must come to a place in your life where you're willing for God to use you and you desire that. I think if the answer to any of these questions that I have just asked you is no, then the Lord cannot use you. And you're not going to be used of the Lord in 2022 until those things are taken care of by His grace in your life. Our past condition is no obstacle for God to use us. Our present circumstances are no obstacles for God not to use us. And lastly, our personal characteristics are no obstacle for God not to use us. I'm reminded of this verse: there is nothing too hard for God. I challenge everyone that's here this evening in this church building to examine your heart and do that thing that God has revealed to your heart right now in order that God can really use you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening, Lord, with really just rejoicing in our heart. And Lord, I'm so thankful for this series of messages that You have given us. Can God? Father, and the question that we looked at tonight is, can God really use my life? Oh, Father, we know that You can. But Father, You don't force us to do anything against our will. And Father, help us to remember that our past condition is no obstacle to You. Our present circumstances are no obstacle for You. And God, our personal characteristics are no obstacle for You. Oh God, I pray for Your people that God, You would help us this evening. You help us to surrender our lives to You. Father, I pray that You'll save someone that could be here this evening and doesn't know Christ as their own personal Savior. Work in our hearts, Father. Continue to challenge us as only You can do. In Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our